Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're off.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. You see something wretched. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it, would you? Sermons, stories, articles, anything wretched, you can send it the old-fashioned way, which is email. idea@wretched.org. If you want to be contemporary and communicate via the text machine, 877-282-2337.
Which is what Anonymous has done, who texted it, Todd. With the growing trend of expository preaching, is the church in danger of falling into a ditch? All sermons I see in the Bible are not expository.
Ah, I see. Well, first of all, we don't have an entire sermon from the Bible. But you would, if you want an example of expository, the way that we do it today, you're right. I don't think you're going to find something in the Bible that looks like, all right, Roman numeral 1, subpoint A, etc. Not going to see that. You don't see word studies. Why? They were codifying scripture. Furthermore, we don't have the totality of people's sermons. We don't know what, for instance, Paul was teaching on his missionary journeys. We see snippets of sermons. Probably the most known and the longest would be in Acts chapter 17. His defenses when he's brought in for trial, we see a part, but we don't see the whole. Jesus, we get snippets of his teaching. The longest would be the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain. His Mount Olivet Discourse. And you say, but those don't sound like expository preaching. That's correct. It's because he was actually setting down God's word. He was delivering God's word. Now, what are we to do with it? So how do we know to do expository preaching? Well, we read what the Bible says about how we are to handle the Bible, to rightly divide it, to be right cutters of it, to be those who labor in the word. And by looking at the way that others handled the word, for instance, you will see Paul regularly, Matthew 17, direct, this is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. And there are between 60 and 100 allusions to Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew from the Old Testament. And so we are given biblical permit. Jesus went back to the Old Testament to use scripture to interpret scripture. To help people understand, we use scripture to understand what that verse is saying. And so when you put the totality of that together, what we believe is best is to rightly cut God's word, to teach what God would say to his people, which is what the Bible is. And so I understand you don't see an expository sermon. Dare I use the word, it was a different dispensation. Furthermore, it was a different form of communication. Furthermore, they were delivered, there was evangelistic a lot, and they were sharing things for the first time. And until we had these thoughts and these truths codified, well, they couldn't exposit them. But that's not to say that expository type teaching was not happening already in the first century church. Now, having said that, I do believe there is an expository ditch. And that is the ditch of expository preaching that limits itself to academics, to the head, to knowledge, to diving so deeply into a text that you go swimming, probably joyfully, in the deep end of, oh, that verb tense, oh, that word actually means, Oh, that's what was being alluded to there. All excellent stuff, but that should not be the end of expository preaching. Expository preaching should have a goal. So what is the goal of the Bible? So what is the goal of preaching? There's a good question for you, especially if you're a pastor. What's the goal of preaching? Well, what does the Bible say? What's God's goal for believers? What is it? That they would know lots of academic facts? No. That they would know systematic theology? No. That they would know the original languages? No. That they would know the love of God, the height, the depth, the breadth, the width of the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he wants for his people. He wants his people to be very different than the Jewish people that Jesus was preaching to, who were religious externally, but their hearts were hard and far away from God. God wants people who love him. He wants that for his people because that's the best thing that we can experience. You can't experience anything better than the love of God. So if that's God's intent and purpose for people, what should the goal of preaching be? The exact same thing. That doesn't mean that you don't exposit a text. It doesn't mean that you can't even parse verbs. You can do all of those things. But the goal, in my opinion, must be, this is for me, as I'm thinking things through, will the people hearing this message love Jesus more? That's it. And if an expository sermon doesn't accomplish that, then it's not done. It's half-baked. And I don't mean that pejoratively. It's not fully cooked. It's less than 165, and you're going to get trichinosis. It's not going to accomplish that which God wants for his people. Now, having said that, some would argue, well, expository preaching does that. You don't have to do that. It does it all by itself. And to a degree, I think that's true if it's thought through. But why would we want to stop with mere information? And if a pastor doesn't know what his goal is, most likely he'll never arrive at the right destination. So a shout out to preachers. Ask yourself the question, what is the purpose of your preaching? What do you want for God's people this Sunday? That, to me, honestly, wrestling with that, diving into a text, it's ours. It just is. But if you're not thinking a lot about what is the point of this passage that I'm dealing with, the other thing that I see that I think is an adjustment is needed is not just expository preaching per se, it's how we even make our way through a text. We tend to be driven by paragraph breaks. So this Sunday sermon, Alpharetta Bible Church, here's a preview. So if you're going this Sunday, you might want to go listen to, I'm not exactly sure who to recommend. Go listen to a sermon by a good guy, because this is how I'm thinking through a massive, we're going to go through a massive amount of text. If you are a genuine expositor, you're going to laugh at me for this, but let me try to defend myself. What is our text this Sunday? Well, we're in Matthew 21, and if you recall, Jesus has now engaged the religious leaders. He's confronting them with his entrance. He cleansed the temple. He was receiving the hosannas of children. He's healing people in the temple, and they want to shut him down. By whose authority do you do this? And he doesn't tell them, demonstrating, you don't have authority over me. But injected in that is his trip out to Bethany from Jerusalem. Matthew 21 through the end of the book is the last days of his life in Jerusalem, the last week. And he goes out to Bethany for the night in Matthew 21. And in the morning, he was hungry, saw a fig tree not bearing figs. It just had leaves, because a fig tree doesn't bear fruit until June. And what did he do? He withered the fig tree. It was an object lesson. The fig tree, according to Isaiah, is Israel, not producing fruit. Therefore, it's going to be withered by Jesus Christ himself. Now, you scoot now. There are a couple of other things happen then after the fig tree withering. And then you've got three parables. The parable of the two sons, the parable of the landowner, the parable of The wedding guests, why are they there? What are they doing there? It is three fig tree proclamations. You're the rotten son. You're the terrible vine grower. You are the wedding guest who does not have the appropriate clothes to come into the feast. In other words, Jesus three times is pointing out, Israel, you're done. You are done. You have blown it. You have not been bearing figs. You have not been bearing fruit. That's what they're doing there. Boom, 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 one after the other. Do you know how many we're going to cover? Well, we're just going to do one at a time. Ah, okay, you can do that. And I get that. You really can. But I, if you don't do all three together, it misses a bang, bang, bang. Because he's making a point. Matthew's just driving it home. Israel has failed in their responsibility and their obligation to God. And he's provided everything they need. And they have blown it. And so we're going to cover all three parables in one sermon because I want us to know the point that Jesus Christ alone is the one who gets to make the proclamation of who his people are. And there's more that should cause us to love Jesus in the text, which I'll share next on Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have eight fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to fortisplus.org or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. fortisplus.org.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
The lost generation wandered without direction after World War I. Well, today, there's another war raging. It's a cultural battle, and it's leaving young men disoriented and directionless. Raised on unfiltered entertainment and endless online content, Gen Z is facing unprecedented challenges with loneliness and depression. But there is hope. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson.
Young man, you need to be learning the Bible. Yes, you got to learn your trade, and yes, you need to be learning what you're learning in school. But ultimately, we want to be transformed by the renewal of our mind.
As Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. That's Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's available right now at Fortis Plus and all of your favorite podcast platforms. And you can also visit fortisinstitute.org to learn more about Dr. Adam Tyson, Way of Manhood, and all of our other content.
Important dates in Christian history. 64 AD. After fire ravages Rome, Emperor Nero blames Christians and unleashes the first state-sanctioned persecution of Christians. Roman persecution would continue for 250 years until Emperor Constantine officially recognized and defended Christianity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Change of plans if you'd like to hear that good news. Visit Alpharetta Bible Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. This is Wretched Radio. I won't give away the entire sermon just in case, out of the tens and tens of people listening, somebody's going to be in church on Sunday where we will be expositing a lot of verses in Matthew. Why? Because I believe expository preaching must be more than didactics. It must. It has to have a higher purpose. And I think that we've overcorrected with expository preaching. We've seen the glop and the slop and the movie sermon series and an AC/DC sermon and all of that nonsense. And we went, well, hold on a second. Yeah, you're creative, Pastor. But you ain't preaching the word of God. We've got to get back to expository. Open up a book, march your way through it, and teach what God says to the original audience, and then make the application. That's expository preaching. And it was woefully needed. Having said that, I've seen a trend that expository preaching has limited itself to merely teaching, to merely giving a lot of data, downloading information, all wonderful stuff. No, but it can sometimes feel like you're reading a Bible encyclopedia, that you're just getting lots of info. And that's awesome. But I believe that expository preaching has to have a greater point. And that point, in my estimation, is that people will love Jesus more when the sermon is done than before when it began. That, I believe, should be the point. Pastor, my challenge to you, what is your point in your preaching? Find it, figure it out, and then implement it. I'm telling you, it'll change your preaching. It will change your congregation. Loving Jesus, I believe, should be that goal. You've got a different agenda. Okay, but figure out what it is so that your preaching isn't merely just dumping data into the ears of people and it ain't making its way to the heart. See it, alpharettabiblechurch.org. In the meantime, send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away 877-282-2337.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Jimmy.
This isn't a joke. You got in trouble.
Well, hold on. Let me just.
Which
one are we dealing with today?
This was an email that came in from Anonymous. Todd, on the radio earlier this week, you made an offhand remark about In Touch magazine, discrediting it. The In Touch magazine is a monthly devotional and is full of scripture.
Oh, so upset that I dissed the devotional.
Right.
No, I wasn't dissing the devotional. That's In Touch Ministries. In Touch Weekly is a gossip rag that you'll see on the newsstands when you're checking out at the grocery store. Then it's got, you know, the celebrities and whatever the headline is that you got to know about. Now that's In Touch Weekly versus In Touch Magazine, which I was not criticizing. But I can understand why somebody might... But no, there's two In Touches, which I don't think made the original In Touch very happy, because I think In Touch Ministries, Charles Stanley's ministry, been around for, what, 50 years?
Oh, yeah, a long time.
Well, I know First Baptist Church Atlanta, he was pastor there for decades. In Touch, I think, came out of that, but it has, I'll bet if we looked at it, probably 50 years. So my apologies for not making that crystal clear. There's two In Touches. Don't worry, you don't have to have much discernment to notice the difference between the two of them when you see them side by side.
That's right.
Unless somehow the ministry is now into telling us what celebrity is getting divorced or having an affair or something, but I don't think that's what's going on. 877-282-2337.
All right, this text is from Ron. Mr. Friel, sometimes I hear Christians say that the enemy, the devil, knows us better than we know ourselves. Is this biblical?
I think probably understands humanity better. I think would be the clarification I would make. The devil understands how we think and how we operate because he's observed, not because he's been inside of our brains. Now, certainly not for the regenerate, but that he's observed trends throughout history and he understands how we respond, what we like, what we don't like, what tempts us, what doesn't. Weaknesses, strengths. And so he uses those things and he shapes events to try to get us to stumble and fall. But I don't think he knows you because he doesn't know your thoughts. He doesn't know what's in your heart. There's only one who does. It's not you. You don't know yourself as well as Jesus knows you. Did you know that? He knows you better than you know you. Revelation. It's in Revelation. It's a book in the Bible. Trust me, it's in there. The scene is that, we're getting a heavenly scene, a vision from John. And the believers are with Jesus. And Jesus gives them a stone with their name on it, with their new name on it. All right, so here's what I think is going down. That Jesus Christ in heaven is going to hand you a pebble with a name on that he is giving to you. Why the change of names? Because that's what Jesus actually did even with the disciples, to give them a name that was more reflective of who they are. And I think that's what the name on the pebble is going to be. The name that best describes you. I think you're going to get that pebble and you're going to look at the name and you're going to go, that's it. That's who I am. This is exactly, yes, you get me. You under, wow, this is precisely who I am. You weren't able to figure it out, but Jesus knows. He's the only one who knows you better than you. But don't think the devil can get into your brain. He can't. He can wreak havoc out there. But I don't think if you're a believer, he knows what's going on inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than is in the world. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Joe. Todd, recently I've dealt with some super frustrating days where it seems nothing goes the way I thought or hoped it would. And at some point I lose my patience. Do you have any tips on what to do when it seems like everything is on your nerves and you don't want to lose your patience?
I don't think any of us can relate to that. there's a lot of things I could suggest. Let me just suggest two. One is a big category and then the other is something particular. What must you do to grow in patience and not be frustrated by the world? It's what we should be doing constantly. It should just be a part of who we are. And that is consuming God's word, preaching, teaching, Bible reading, Acts 2, 42 and 43. These are the means of growth for you. Be in fellowship, be doing your Christian life in a community. Be taking the ordinance of the Lord's table, witness the gospel as somebody gets baptized. Do those things and you will grow in your love, your confidence, your trust in the Lord. And you'll also understand his sovereignty. It's playing itself out in every aspect of your life. And that leads me to the second, perhaps, encouragement that I would give to you. Whatever's going on to you every single day, whatever the annoyance is, whatever the frustration, whatever the good thing is, God is ordaining it for you. You are on assignment. He's got you doing exactly what he wants you doing, where he wants you to be. And as you increasingly see life that way, that you see life is being, it's being run by God. And he's got you on assignment. Then I think the more that we're aware, okay, I signed up for this class and this teacher, Charlie Brown's teacher, had a better voice. Oh, this person is driving me nuts. God wants you in that class. You're supposed to be there because you're there. And as you increasingly just submit and surrender to the sovereignty of God in every aspect of your life, you will find yourself being less agitated because you've got a loftier goal than just not being bugged. You're on mission. Those would be the two thoughts. 877-282-2337. Jimmy.
Yes.
It's Revelation. When you were reading that, I multitasked.
Oh, you did?
Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. How cool is that going to be? I have free time. So I was thinking, what might that name be? I mean, if I'm right in this, that nobody knows it. In other words, nobody realizes how perfect it is, but the person getting the new name on the white pebble. What would it be? What's he going to identify? Will it be a weakness? Will it be a strength? Will it be a fear? Will it be what my needs are? I don't know. But what I do know is when we see that, again, if I'm right in my understanding of Revelation 2:17, if I'm right about that, you're going to see it and you're going to know he's the one. He's the one who knows me better than even myself. What a day. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. We start with President Trump's sweeping executive order protecting children from irreversible gender transition procedures. It sparked some immediate legal challenges. Of course it has, including from a biological male who demands to remain in a women's prison. He's an inmate. He wants to remain in a women's prison. Of course he does. The order, which Trump called necessary to end a stain on our nation's history, takes direct aim at what he terms junk science from activist organizations pushing these interventions on minors. A review of medical literature on youth gender dysphoria will now be required within 90 days. A representative from North Carolina, Mark Harris, is tackling another threat to children's well-being. That would be introducing legislation that would block mail-order abortion drugs. His Tele-Abortion Prevention Act would require doctors to physically examine patients before prescribing these medications, addressing the surge in chemical abortions that now account for over half of all pregnancy terminations. In education news, the latest national assessment scores paint a stark picture of academic failure. 7 out of 10 American students can't read or do math at grade level. And these dismal results emerge during National School Choice Week, which bolsters arguments for educational freedom. Meanwhile, an activist network of transgender teachers is pressuring schools to adopt speech codes and penalize transphobic language, including persistent intentional failure to use preferred pronouns. Their guide urges schools to cover sex change procedures in health plans and eliminate sex-segregated facilities. The Trump administration has already launched investigations into districts implementing such policies, as they should. The Department of Homeland Security has revoked protected status for hundreds of thousands of Venezuelan migrants, signaling a broader shift in immigration enforcement. The policy change reflects the administration's comprehensive approach to border security, from enhanced enforcement to streamlined deportation procedures for those without legal status. And a victory for investigative journalism emerged as California dropped its case against David Daladin, whose undercover work exposed Planned Parenthood's trafficking in fetal tissue. After nearly a decade of legal persecution initiated by then-Attorney General Kamala Harris, Daladin's Center for Medical Progress is now free to resume its investigative work exposing abortion industry practices. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like plenary verbal inspiration. God inspired every word of Scripture, guiding the human authors as they wrote without violating each man's personality and writing style. In the Bible, we have the very Word of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We have a trend, Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you'll send stuff to idea at wretched.org. Text away 877-282-2337. I received an email that is similar to the email that you just read.
Well, you get in trouble.
Not that one.
Oh, okay. Oh,
you,
okay.
You seem to gravitate toward those, however. I think a lot of people are struggling. We are in 9,000 times a day, the world screams, hey, we're going to provide every benefit and comfort for you. Just buy from us. Give us your attention. Give us your allegiance, and we will give you good things because life is supposed to be about you. After all, you rule. And the Bible says something different. The Bible says those days are a coming, but in the meantime, you are living in this epoch of history where we are still in a cursed system. We are still feeling the effects of the fall. One day, all of this garbage will be removed once and for all. What a glorious day. But in the meantime, even believers stub their toes. They get kicked in the shins. Their hip breaks when they slip on the ice. That's just life. And it's not that God doesn't want you to have things that make life easier. It's not that he just wants us tripping through life. Well, I guess if I get hit in the head, no big deal. Well, if you know you're going to get hit in the head, put a helmet on. You don't have to be just nilly-willy and just que-sarah-sarah about everything. Having said that, we understand that this life is toil. Labor, thorns and thistles, health issues, delivering children, raising children, all of the pressures that we feel, they don't go away when you become a Christian. But as a Christian, we should be able to cope better than the world. And we should look to more than a worldly nook of comfort. We go someplace else. And if you're going through that season now, and don't we all? It just seems that it rains and then there's some sunshine. Well, for a lot of people, there's just a lot of rain. So where do you find the sunshine in that? I would suggest to you, it is understanding that you are on a mission for God. You're not the Blues Brothers, but you are on a mission for the real God who has you on assignment. And he has you in this lot because he wants you there. Now, you might ask, well, what exactly is the point of that? Well, I don't know. That's up to each individual to try to sort and figure out. And one day it will be revealed to us in eternity. But until then, we can know this, that he has you where he wants you. I sometimes wonder, all right, this is amusing, so please discount this all you like. I wonder if it simply won't be for eternal stories that we'll be sitting around enjoying Jesus Christ, enjoying one another, enjoying wonderful food. And we're gonna talk just like we do whenever we sit down and break bread together. And I'm going to hear about you and your situation. And we're both going to go, man, Jesus is amazing, isn't he? Look what he did in that. That's what he was doing. Wow. And then you're going to hear my story and you're going to go, Jesus, for you? Whoa. So I don't know for sure why you're perhaps in a rainy season, but I can't help but I know that he's using it for your good and for his glory. I know that. And I think what helps me get my brain around it is recognizing that God, when the fires were happening in California, I know there was a lot of talk about, is this God's judgment? Is it on Hollywood? Is it God's judgment on Los Angeles, Governor Newsom, what have you? I'm not privy to the mind of God at that level. But I do know this. There isn't a fire that happens and God just kind of goes, well, I'm going to let it go. Let's see what happens here. Or there's going to be a flood and hopefully too many Christians don't get their basements washed out. That's not how he works at all. Everything he does is individualized. Everything. It's custom made for you. Now, if you're not a believer, there's different things that God is doing. He's either now pouring out his wrath or he is encouraging you to repent lest a tower fall on you too. But if you are in Christ, he has you. Whatever it is that he's doing or permitting in your life, it is exactly what you need. It is precisely what our good physician ordered. You need that. Don't think that you're driving home from work and you just feel like I'm out here and I'm stuck in this traffic and 400, you know, it's 8 lanes, 10, well, they're widening the thing like crazy, like 12 lanes wide. And I'm just holding on to the wheel. Wrong. You're exactly where God wants you. Why do I live at this time? Why am I in this zip code? Why are my kids all like that? The answer is because God knows best. And it's where he wants you for your good, for his glory. So here's this particular email. We're both biblical Christians. I'm going to leave the name out. That love, all caps love our Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes these stretches of hard times, at least for me, my wife, she questions why this continually happens to her. I know I have lived a rough life, and a lot of what happens to me is self-induced, but she's an angel. She suffered her whole life and continues to get these obstacles thrown at her that she cannot avoid. I pray that the Lord forgives us for questioning him, but sometimes it's hard to comprehend why this happens to us. It's not happening to you. It's happening for you. And please note this. You are not getting punished, sir, for your past rascally sins. That's not what he is doing. He is treating you both the same. He is giving to you what you need. And you say, this is a hard pill to swallow. I know. But God knows better. And your situation, your life story, it will echo throughout eternity as we all get to see what God was doing all along, and we will stand in awe of him. Don't think that you are being left hung out to dry, that life is nilly-willy, that you got caught in a tsunami or a forest fire. You didn't. God is doing everything that is best for his children. Jimmy, you got anything to add to that?
I was just thinking, so what you're saying is that we don't need to say, Jesus, take the wheel. He's already
got the wheel.
He's already got it.
No, he's got the wheel.
Right.
And we don't give him directions. Now, we can petition him. Most certainly, he invites us to do just that. But this is why reading your Bible to see the goodness of God is just really, really important. It just, even in the Old Testament, he's nice there too. Consider the goodness of God. Consider the promises for his children, and then consider what he did to save you from the wrath that is to come. He sent his beloved son for you. Will he, who spared not his only beloved son, not also give you every good gift? I think you've got to remember that. So now you've got a cold again. I just got over the cold and I've got a cold again. You know why? Because God knows you need a cold. What? I don't like it cold. No, and I'm not saying that God is fond of runny noses either. But the point is, you need it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it. That's how he operates with us. This God isn't just kind of, well, I'm going to do a big initiative here. I'm going to sign a piece of legislation, or I'm going to tell the angels, kind of move in this direction, y'all, for America or for Peru. No, that's not the way he is in your life. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he loves you, and he desires the best things for you, the best things. And if that road to those good things is rocky, bumpy, and you're constantly being run into, it will be worth it. It will be worth it because we understand the character and the nature of God. And that's why we read the Bible. That's why we go to preaching that exalts Jesus Christ. That is why I believe, again, preaching, it must show the goodness of God. Yes, it can show the severity of God, but let's make sure that we are always exalting the God who is good, the God who cares, the God who is long-suffering, the God who gives and gives and gives and waits and waits and does all good things for his children. And then as we go through life getting dinged around, we won't be downtrodden. Not saying that it necessarily makes the bankruptcy lighter or easier to deal with on a human level, but you're going to get it. You're going to understand it. And you're going to know that there was a reason for it. Your good, His glory. This is Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect His flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. From Integrated with Dr. John Krotz to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, these programs are doing exactly what they were intended to do. They're touching lives and they're transforming hearts. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. As we face this brave new world together, I want to ask if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, though, and not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas in your life are in order, would you consider joining us? Because your support will help us produce even more life-changing content. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Maybe music might help.
God is good. And all the time. God is good. All the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good.
Yes, He is.
All the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine.
God is good.
God is good.
This is Wretched Radio. Maybe that is a thought you need to have banged into your noodle via music can be so helpful. If it's good theology, sing it over and over again in your car. Let me encourage you, find some stuff that is good lyrically and musically and sing it, because God, he seems to just embed a lot of truth via the vehicle of music. And if you're going through a hard season, I would encourage you, start singing now. It's better to start singing before you go through the season of sorrow. But if you're in one, try to sing and remember these truths, that God is good all the time. Not sometimes, not just with other people, all the time. We need these truths fixed in our brains, because this dispensation that we are currently in, it's hard. And people get sick and finances run out and people die that we love, especially when it's a child. I think of Tim Challies, talk about his season of sorrow. That, by the way, would be a book that would help you if you're going through the season of mourning a loss of somebody. An outstanding book from one of our fellows, Tim Challies, if you're not familiar with him. Seasons of Sorrow, it will help you, because it's a thoughtful treatment of sovereignty. Have you noticed that those of us who are sovereigntists sometimes have a tendency to maybe not consider the human element of somebody's struggle, because we just go, boom, right to sovereignty. Man, my dog that I had since I was a child just got run over by a bus. Well, you know, God's sovereign. Okay, all right. That is a truth that needs to be shared at the appropriate time. But we need to feel. We need to feel through this with one another, to bear one another's burdens, to weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn. Then we can share some good theology, like God is good all the time. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is an email from Anonymous. Interesting question and conversation. Todd, my husband and I have been married for over 30 years.
Well done.
I was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and unless the Lord intervenes, I will be going home soon, long before my husband does. Mm. We have two adult kids and one still in high school. Does my husband still have a responsibility to care for my aging parents after my death? His parents are both gone. I do have a brother, but he is not a believer and will not see the biblical mandate to honor and care for our parents.
It certainly would seem duplicitous of me to race to the answer to that question and look past the pain that is being experienced in an entire family, and the dozens and dozens of people connected to that family. This is precisely why we need to know that God is good. Yeah. Some of us are going to be diagnosed with cancer earlier than we think. And that really is the way it is, isn't it? Isn't it funny? You'll hear about somebody will say, hey, I just lost a relative. And I do this too. I think it. And sometimes I've asked it. How old are they? How old? Like, okay, they made it to the national average of 72. So that's not so bad. Death is just, And we sometimes just, we tend to think that it's less bad if somebody's old. It's really bad when somebody loses a child. Perhaps I get, but it just, death is bad. And it, to lose a parent, if you can be 60, 70 years old, I've seen this. I felt this myself. You lose a parent. I don't care how old you are. That is a deep, devastating loss. And to the person who would go, I don't get what your problem is. You're 70. You didn't think your parents were going to live forever, did you? Oh, man. Death is, it stinks. Doesn't it? Just stinks. And we need to be prepared for it, because God's timetable actually is the best. We think 72, God says, nope, when I take you home, that's the best. And we need to know that, and we need to have that fixed solidly in our hearts. Having said that, madam, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I hate running past that to answer the question, because it feels like I'm contradicting everything that we've just been talking about here. Does your husband have a responsibility to your parents? I would actually rephrase that question. Does your husband, who it appears is going to outlive you, have a responsibility to his parents? And you're going, well, his parents. Yeah, no, I get, I'm talking about my parents. And I'm saying, no, I'm talking about his parents. Because your parents are his parents. His parents are your parents. That's what happens when we get married. We get brought into this one flesh union. So when you said, I do, you both said, your parents are my parents. And so I'm trying to think of a particular Bible verse that would talk about the expiration date for honoring one's parents. I could understand why you might think, because, well, I'm not alive anymore. That, yes, on the one hand, that of course does end the marriage covenant, but I don't think that that ends the responsibility. Would I bang my fist on a table and make him? I don't know that I could go that far, because I don't have a Bible verse that explicitly says that, but I think the implication is, yeah, I think he does. I think he does. And I think that you can talk about that with him. And if he's a godly man, if he doesn't grasp that immediately, I think that he will when he understands just what exactly he committed to when he said, I do. Now, having said that, might I add one more thought for you, madam? I understand the desire to get everything as orderly as possible before departing. That's why we have wills. That's why we write down what our wishes are, what we want done with our stuff, whether we want to be hooked up to a machine or not. We try to do all that. And then you think about your inheritance for the kids. Is the insurance paid up? And what about, I need to make sure that particular account needs to be. That's all good. And that is right. And I think we should do that. I really do. And by the way, this isn't like my issue, but if you are older, you can define whatever that is, and you don't have a will, you should get one, because it'll save your family, who's going to be mourning for you, a lot more pain. If you just spell everything out, just write it down. It's not the most, but you can do it online for cheap these days. Just get it down for the sake of the family. We should do those things. That's I think, what thoughtful, godly people do. Having said that, might I encourage you, as you are walking in this season, to increasingly fix your mind on God is good. God is good. Do you know who loves your parents more than you? God. Do you know who loves your parents more than your husband? God. Do you know who loves your kids more than you or your husband? God. If he chooses to take you home, what we would say is prematurely, based on statistical timetables, you can know that that is what is best for your parents. And it's what is best for your husband. And it'll be what is best for your kids. I am not suggesting that that somehow diminishes the mourning at all. But you can prepare to go home to see Jesus, knowing your God is good and he's got them. He's got them. And you're going to be so joyful and so busy and so deliriously happy in heaven. They'll be with you in a twinkling of an eye. And in the meantime, your faith will be made sight, and you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt your God is good. And your parents, your husband, and your kids are in very good hands. and I'm sorry. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.